Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I've got a great guest in store for you today. I have Eileen McDar with me. And since 1980, Eileen has helped organizations and individuals transform the life of their businesses and the business of their life through conversations that matter and connections that count. She has become known as a master facilitator, an award-winning author, and an internationally recognized keynote and executive coach. She draws upon practical business know-how, life experiences, and years of consulting to major national and international organizations that have ranged from global pharmaceuticals to the U.S. Armed Forces, from healthcare associations to religious institutions. Her programs are content-rich, interactive, provocative, and playful, even downright hilarious. In 2019, Global Gurus International, a British-based provider of resources for leadership, communication, and sales training, ranked her first as one of the world's top 30 communication professionals following a global survey of 22,000 business professionals. She is also a certified virtual trainer. She's written 6 books, and her 7th book, Burnout to Breakthrough, will be published by Barrett Kohler, and I'm guessing that's coming out soon. So let's just dive in here and we can find out more from Eileen herself. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you so much, and thank you for mentioning the book, and it comes live August 4th.
Woohoo! That's exciting.
Woo-hoo is right.
I know. Releasing a book is always like this. I always say it's like giving birth to a child, and then there it is, and it's so exciting. So congratulations on that, and this is your 7th book, so for sure congratulations with that. So let's dive in here and tell us a little bit more kind of about that journey, and then tell us a little bit more about what you're doing today.
Okay, well, let's see. My journey was long ago and far away. I taught school at a rural community at the Florida-Georgia border, lived in a converted motel off of U.S. Highway Number 1 with my husband at the time. We were there for, 8 there, and then I was director of marketing at Amelia Island Plantation off the coast of Florida. Went through a divorce. Moved out to California because my sweet sister opened up her arms and her one-bedroom apartment with husband, German Shepherd, and a cat, and said, you can come live with us. And within 2 years, I was married to my incredible husband now of 40 years, Bill Elvins. And in that process, that journey, my first job out in California was with doing corporate communications for a national healthcare company, where I learned horrible leadership practices, which lets me talk about what good leadership looks like because I saw the worst, and then was with a PR firm handling their multinational accounts. Burned out big time. I got to the place where if I wrote another press release, I was going to throw up. And that's actually when I started my own consulting practice. And I think this is an important thing for people to think about when we talk about working from your happy place. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't know what we want, but we know what we don't want. It's reverse goal setting. And that's exactly what I did. I did reverse goal setting. I do not, this I don't want, this I don't want, this I don't want. And within the first, when we got married, and by the way, my husband had 3 kids that were instantly mine too. So we had an instant family, and between us probably had very little money. And within a month, I woke up in the middle of the night, slapped him, and said, I can't do this job anymore. I have to quit my job. And bless his heart, Belinda, he said, don't worry. We'll always be okay. And he was right. And that's when I quit. And I started McDar Communications, and that subsequently rolled in the Resiliency Group. And within the first month of my new business, which was doing a lot of communication, writing, and training, I was asked to develop a program for the local college and did that. Had such a good time doing that. I forgot how much I love to teach and went on to develop a couple more programs for the college for adults coming back, continuing education. And the rest, as they say, is history. And so that started me on this journey of uncovering more and more of what I think are the things that I can bring to the world.
And so what are you doing to assist individuals, and who's your typical client, so that our listeners can have a better understanding of that? And then what kinds of things are you providing for them to achieve the success that they want to have in their businesses?
Okay, that's a good question. So first and foremost, because my field is communication with emphasis on resiliency, and if you think about what's going on right now, Belinda, this word resilience is on everybody's lips. And also, we're no longer in the place where work, a year ago, work looked very different than what it looks like now. We're doing everything virtually. So what I am doing now, well, let me go back and answer your question. My clients have really ranged, as that introduction said, all across the board. Oftentimes in major organizations, what I'm brought in to do is to facilitate management level executive retreats. And in that capacity, what I do is to help them figure out who they want to be when they grow up, what are some of the issues they need to deal with, and how do we honor and bring out the best in who sits around that table. Because oftentimes in business, we talk about the issue, but we've never looked at who really are we, and who is John, and who is Sam. And so one of my goals is to really create the life of work, and we do that through our relationships. I'm also hired to speak before groups. It can be anything from keynoting 15,000 to a smaller group. And now that we're in the virtual environment, it's going to be very interesting to see how this all transpires. And one of the things I've realized in business is that you roll with what the universe is seeking from you now. And what I think, Belinda, people are seeking now, and actually yesterday I heard it from three different voices in three different scenarios, is what they really want is a way to show up in this very turbulent, upside down, fractured universe. And how is it that they can come together first personally, which is why that topic of burnout is so important. How do they manage themselves? And then from a leader's perspective, how is it that they manage in this brand new world, which, by the way, is not a new normal? It's never going to look like what it was. So we really have, you can either sit there like a deer in headlights, or you can say, wow, okay, what is the opportunity that's presented to us? So I give them some ideas about how you can show up in the face of, quote, opportunity rather than just crisis.
Very good. So how has, obviously, you kind of shared a little bit of that lifestyle back then, but now it's been 40 years with your new husband, but how has the business shaped your lifestyle today?
Like, well, if you think, I mean, 40 years ago, you didn't have that many women who were starting their own businesses, quite frankly.
Yep.
And when I started out, I did not put my picture on anything, because if it was a woman in business, they thought that I was going to do dress for success. Not. So I had very masculine, bold letterhead until they talked to me on the phone. They honestly didn't know whether I was male or female. So it was very androgynous. How has it shaped my life? Well, first off, because I became an instant mother, a stepmother for three kids. It shaped my life because I needed to craft something that not only could I provide income and do work that I thought I was called to do, but I also needed to find time and a way to become an important person in the life of those three kids. And so the way it has shaped my life is that I've been able to make some choices that if I were working for someone instead of working for myself, I might not be able to make. So it's given me flexibility in that way. But I have to say, when you work for yourself, you work for the worst person in the world. There's no such thing as a paid vacation. You don't get time off. There is no overtime, you know, everything. So over the years, I have put in a tremendous, tremendous amount of time. And now, which is interesting, with this whole pandemic, things have shifted. And not always in a bad way. I'm actually sleeping more. Oh my goodness, what an amazing thing, because I don't have to get on a plane, you know, at 5 a.m. or something like that. So it has changed. It has changed that lifestyle. The other thing is what my business has allowed me to do, when you say what it's like, is depending on the work. Now, this is not right now this year, but when I could travel, depending on where it was and what it was that I was doing, I was able to have my precious husband come with me. So we've had some incredible adventures when that work in that city is finished.
Absolutely. I can totally relate to that, being in the speaking industry myself. So
there you go.
And this has been a different year for sure.
For sure.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about skill sets. So what have you identified kind of as your superpowers that have really helped you in this journey, that have helped you be successful in being your own boss? And I would say that right there, and you kind of identified it as you're being your own boss is having the worst boss ever, but it's people have the biggest struggle with being self-employed. I talk to entrepreneurs and a lot of direct sellers, and that is by far, I think, people's greatest challenge is stepping into this. I now finally can do what I want, but what does that look like? Can you just share with us maybe a couple of the skill sets that have been super important for you in sort of navigating your way in this arena?
Well, for one thing, I'm very disciplined, and I think that really makes a difference. So if you're not disciplined, you need to set up some kind of measure for which you will say, I'm going to sit at this desk and I'm not moving for an hour. So first off, organization and discipline. And I'm very tenacious, maybe too tenacious sometimes. I'm not like a dog with a bone, but not too far from it. Mm-hmm. I think what's also helped me be successful, if you will, is I really do care about my clients. I said long ago, I don't want clients. I actually want friends. People tell me things, Belinda, that they turn around and say, I've never said that to anyone in my life, because for whatever reason, they know that they can trust me and that I would hold in confidence whatever they tell me, but that ultimately I also have their best interest at heart, which is why there have been times also, Belinda, where I've turned down work, even if I needed it, because it wasn't the right fit. It wasn't right. And I could give them other names. You know, I think here's somebody that I think could serve you better. So I think those are the things. Plus, you know, someone told me, you're fun in the sandbox, Eileen. You're just fun. And I'm a fun and funny wordsmith. So I believe laughter is, well, as Victor Borges said, it's the shortest distance between two people. So I think that's the other thing that has helped me, is that I'm fun. anyway.
Well, that's awesome. And I do think that is important. I think being sharing people when they laugh or you share funny stories, they remember the fun. They remember the story. They don't always remember the learning piece out of that. But if they can wind themselves back to the fun and the funny story, they eventually get to, oh, yeah, it was in regard to that. It was in regard to that. And then they remember the actual strategy that you taught them.
That's true.
That's what I have found, even in my own personal speaking world, is that when you can do relatable, funny, interesting stories, people have a tendency to remember that more and then can go sort of reverse it and go backwards and figure out.
Well, that's it. You're so right. I mean, I think that is one of the strengths that I have is I'm a good storyteller. And by story, it's not long, convoluted. I'm a great believer in metaphor as a, as a teaching tool. And if you think about it, all of the great, particularly if you go back through the great religions of the world, the people of those different eras told stories. And the stories are the things that we remember. So the ability to tell story, to take what is complex and turn it around. I mean, today I was on a long, wonderful interview with a London Speakers Bureau, and she about my, you know, the four skill sets of resiliency. And when I finished, she said, you know, I can remember those because you made them very clear in a very quick amount of time. So you're right. I think that's that story part is really important.
Yes. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishment. What's one of your, you know, or a couple of outstanding accomplishments that you're really proud of?
Well, when I realized that we're getting ready to launch the seventh book, Burnout to Breakthrough: Building Resilience to Refuel, Recharge, and Reclaim What Matters. I'm almost stunned that I have that many books. So I don't think I give myself credit for having written those. And now that I look at this seventh one, I think, wow, that is really cool. Mm-hmm. I think as a family, we've made a really great blended family. We're a good family. We're solid. I mean, 40 years, my youngest daughter was 10, and then I had two teenagers, but we're very close, we're very tight, and I think that's an accomplishment that together we created this family. I was awarded the NSA Council of Peers Award of Excellence, the CPAE, which is only given to 5 speakers once a year, sometimes not even 5, and you are selected by your peers for that. So that felt really good. And then there's another a group that creates what they call Legends of the Speaking Industry, and that was very sweet. And this Global Gurus thing, Riley, really came out of, oh my, that's quite a surprise. So from a professional standpoint, I think those are the accomplishments. And then the personal is that we have this really good, strong family.
Well, that's awesome. And those are things definitely to be proud of. And I will say this, it is, I was an instant stepmom to a 5-year-old with my first marriage. And then, so that's hard. It's hard when you've never been a parent and you're instantly moving into that role. And then I had 2 kids, and then I was divorced. But then when I remarried my husband, he immediately stepped in to never having kids and being a stepdad to 2 teenagers. And
wow,
that is very – so I've lived on both sides of that fence, and it is not easy. Like, that is not an easy role, period. And when you can do it and have success and have a successful blended family – that is a huge accomplishment that I don't think we talk about enough. I don't think, I remember reading an article one time because I was 21 years old when I got married and then had an instant 5-year-old. And I remember reading, it was awful. I'm just going to say, and I remember reading this article saying the stepmom has one of the most difficult, challenging roles out of all of the different parental situations. And that gave me solace. It just gave me comfort. It was like, okay, I'm not just dreaming this up, or I'm not struggling because I'm a horrible person. This is a real struggle. And it gave tips on how to navigate through that. And that actually, probably reading that article was maybe one of the best things that I did for myself in that, because it just made me feel not such a failure or so lonely, and knowing that it is. And I don't think it's enough that's talked about. So
I think your point is so well taken. And when I said we're a really good family, it didn't start out that way. Actually, the youngest one, the 10-year-old, was was the most challenging. Mm-hmm. And we've been through a lot of stuff. We went into counseling. It has always struck me that the first role of being a good parent is to keep your child safe, whether they like you or not.
Yep.
And so there were some things that I did to keep her safe, which she rebelled and didn't like it. Too bad. Too bad it's the way it goes. And now we're solid and we're good. But it's hard. And if you think about it, even the term stepmother, who are the evil people in the fairy tales? Yep. They're the stepmothers. They're the wicked witches. They're just horrible. I don't even like that term. And the other day, my youngest daughter and her husband live relatively close to us. And so we're very safe, but we went there for dinner and we could sit outside. And some of her neighbors just stopped by at a distance. And she said, "Oh, this is my mom. I think I've only ever heard her call me mom maybe 3 times.
Aww.
And I'll tell you what, I sent her a thank you note. Now, it's our oldest son, daughter, Holly, and then the youngest one. Holly has always called me, this is my mom, this is my mom. But the youngest one has not. So it was just, oh, you know, we try.
I do. Yeah, that's awesome. Let's talk about, and I love that story that you just shared, that story, because look at how many years later that is, and it still has such a impact on you. And there's probably in her journey, it's like coming to terms with certain things or feeling certain things. And even though it's been a long while, I think that gives people hope too, that, you know, it's constant evolving relationships and we just need to keep working on them. So I love that. Let's talk about an obstacle or challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Well, I think, besides, obviously, running your own business is always a challenge because it's either pheasant or feathers. You know, you either have so much work you don't know how to handle it, or you're going to be a bag lady. So it just goes like that. But I think one of the biggest challenges was caring for my aging mother. Brought her out. She lived in. I came out here from Florida. Moved mom out, and she lived first with me, and then in an assisted living center. About 2 miles down the road, where I could and did literally run to her. And we went through, oh my gosh, Belinda, she had, she was happy for about the first 6 months. And then she broke her leg, parallel plateau tibia break, could not be mended. So she was in a brace with her leg outstretched. And this is a woman who is so proud. She was one of 3 women in med school in the 30s.
Oh, wow.
She flew for the military in World War II, an incredible woman. And to realize that your mom was losing it was really difficult. So let me just summarize is that she had the broken leg, she had her third broken hip, pulmonary embolisms, dementia, and finally a stroke that took out her entire left side. So in those years, it was like a parent. Trying to keep now your mother safe. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I slept with my cell phone. I can't tell you the number of times we were in the hospital. And it was difficult and at the same time, a joy. And she was, at the end, I wouldn't have, other than I would have liked her to have her physical and mental abilities back. She always knew. It's really interesting. She lived in an altered reality, but she always knew who her 3 kids were. And we were all with her when she passed. But it was, it indeed was a challenge. And my job, my work, became mom. So I let my business slip. And I wouldn't trade it again. And I would never have taken any work that took me offshore. No way. Sorry, I can't do it. And you're a speaker, you know, we're called all over the U.S., Canada, wherever. I would never take an assignment unless I knew that my sister in Los Angeles could come down to where I am in Dana Point and be here for mom. So that's been a challenge, because when you let those things go for a number of years, you don't really get them all back. And yet I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Wow. I'm sure that that had to be difficult, but it's really just about setting parameters. Some people would say boundaries. I kind of like parameters better, because boundaries always seems like a negative. But it's about setting parameters that then you're going to live within those. Like, this is kind of my new reality, and these are my parameters of which I'm going to continue to do my business. Where I think a lot of people, they just kind of give up, or they would just say, I'm taking care of my mom now, that's what I'm doing. But you did set parameters around your business. You continued your business. It might not, but there were with certain limitations or parameters that you decided, these are my points of what I'm willing to do. And I think when you identify those, then work continues, and they all do sort of seem to work itself out when you put those boundaries or parameters in place.
I think that's true. And for where I sit right now with everything that's going on, I feel that I am in the right place at the right time now. It's as though all of the things that have happened are building to allow me to do work which is incredibly meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. And that work is to really make a difference in by transforming the life of work and the work of life through helping people have conversations that matter and connections that count. And from that, feel a sense of hope and optimism, because I think more than anything right now, what we need, Belinda, is hope.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And I think some people it's a constant battle on a daily basis, what I see for people. And I'm sure people listening to this, maybe it will be helpful, but one day they wake up and they're like, okay, there's sort of this like hopefulness. And then the next day, there's either something is in the news or something happens, and then they feel like there's no hope at all. It seems to be this emotional roller coaster that people are on right now, and they don't know how to navigate that. So
that's true. That's true for it's true for all of us. Mm-hmm. So my advice, mm-hmm. Whether it's a friend or a colleague or a client, is all you have to navigate is today. That's all. That's all. If I can stay focused on what is the contribution I can make today, what are the things that are important to me today, then it's not as overwhelming as looking out and saying, oh, crap, I don't have any work for the rest of the year, or whatever you want to say.
Right.
It's that's helpful.
I think that's great advice. So what's working from your happy place mean to you then?
Well, I think it's, as I said before, it means to me, my happy place is that I can feel that I am making a contribution. Mm-hmm. Sitting, you know, when you're, you know, if you're working remotely in an office and you feel like all you're doing is pushing papers and you're not getting any responses, it can be incredibly discouraging and lonely. And you know, Belinda, in the work that you do, when you get feedback on the podcast that you're giving and people say, God, thank you, that was really helpful, that feeds your heart. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yesterday I had three different conversations that I needed that reinforced that when Eileen shows up in a virtual place, that you actually feel I'm there with you. It's not just this talking head. And that it was, yesterday was the happiest I've been in a while, because I felt like I was contributing and I heard those words back. So that's kind of my happy place. My happy place is also knowing that I can go and take a walk for 45 minutes where I live. I can, in my neighborhood, physically distance, I can still walk down and look at the ocean, and I can turn around and come back. So being in nature also is also part of my happy place. And last but not least, I did this little tiny video, and I opened it with, well, I woke up this morning, you were on my mind. I said, well, maybe you weren't on my mind, but that's what makes me happy, is I woke up this morning. I have been given a day that I can walk into my office, a day that I can sit and talk with Belinda. I'm excited to have that happen, a day in which I can send a note of gratitude out to somebody that makes me happy. I've been given this day.
That was wonderful. So thanks for sharing that. Absolutely.
You're welcome. So, am I the first person to sing to you?
You want to know what? You are. I was sitting here thinking, actually, I had one of my earlier podcasts, but they're a professional singing group, but I had them sing on the show, and that was fun. But I think next to that, that is the only time. So that was awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So what advice, so in wrapping this up, would you give to others, you know, that kind of are like you, like burned out and ready to make a change and take that leap of faith? And what advice would you give to those people?
I think the first piece of advice I would say is don't just walk away from everything. Ask yourself this question: why am I here? I think that when we get into burnout, it's because we're trying to make everybody happy, voices in our head happy. It's all this work, work, work. And I want us to stop and say, why am I here? What brings me to joy? Now, it might be that the work I'm doing now is what's going to pay the mortgage. But what brings me to joy is the fact that I can sit and play with a puppy dog, that I can take care of my neighbor. I don't know what that is, but I think the ability to find your why is really important. I am talking with a gentleman right now. It's called the Why Institute, and I'm thinking that I will be certified in the Why Institute to help people find your why first, then how do you operationalize that, and what do you do? So it goes why, how, what, which I had never thought about before, but the more I contemplate that, I think that's the first thing. Why are you here?
Very good. So what new and exciting things are you working on? I know we got the book. We can re-talk about the book. And how can our listeners find you? So,
well, thank you. First off, the new and exciting things is obviously the book coming out. I'm enjoying all the different podcast and video cast I'm being asked to do. I think what we're going to be doing is making a series of small, like 3 to 4 minutes video segments that give people ideas about everything from how to find your why to how do you take care of today. So that's something I've never done. And I'm looking forward to doing that. I've decided that what I need to do every month is I have to do some things new. Something I've never tried before. So that's exciting. As to how they can find me, certainly you can either go on to Eileen MacDar, and they'll see my name on your podcast.com, or theresiliencygroup.com. I'm there. You can find me on LinkedIn. Just put in my name, and I'm there. My Twitter handle is at MacDarling, MacDarling, MacDarling. That was the name a colleague gave me long ago. So that's the Twitter handle. And my email is Eileen@EileenMacDar.com. And I'd be happy to talk to any of your listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen. This has been a delightful interview, and I've enjoyed it so much. We have lots in common. I always enjoy that, and it sort of fills me up. So I always love that as much as any of our listeners. That's one of the reasons I still continue to do the podcast, is it fills my bucket as I'm trying to fill so many others. So
good for you. Thank you so much, Belinda.
Yes,
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. And then to all of our listeners, make sure that you subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place. That way you won't miss a single episode. And Eileen and I both love reviews. So feel free to drop one of those because that's really good for both of us. So thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.